Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, this morning we are in a series. This whole year we're in a series about the core values of our church. And we're deviating a week or two from that in September, and we have a time or two. But for the most part, this year, we're talking about the core values of our church. Who is it? What is it that God has called us to be? And what should we be doing in this month? We're talking about the fact that we will be equipped for ministry. We will be ready to do what God puts in our hands to do. We will be committed to doing whatever that thing is that God allows us to do. We're going to be ready for it. We're going to commit ourselves to it. And so this month we're rallying around that. Pastor Dave kicked us off on that subject 2 weeks ago. And I want to continue it this morning, simply committing that we will be fully committed to the work of the Lord. Let me just put it this way. Your life, say this with me, my life. Your life, my life, should be bringing glory and honor to God. It really should. Your life is the life that God wants to use to bring His presence, His change, His transformation to our city and to our world. Your life is one of those. And I know it's a journey for each of us. There was a young man. This is sort of an older story. But there was a man years ago. His name was C.T. Studd. Maybe you've heard his name. And just as his last name says, C.T. Studd was quite the stud. I mean, there's his picture. Doesn't he look like a stud? Any man who can sport that kind of neck attire, he's got to be a stud. But he was a famous athlete of his day. He had all types of possibilities in his future of making big bucks in the sports arena. But something happened. One day he and actually his brothers as well all heard the message of Jesus. And he gave his life to Christ. But not only did he give his life to Christ, he also felt the Lord tell him that I've got a work for you to do. It's a significant work. And so he resigned his career as a professional athlete to pursue the call of God. And he became one of our world-renowned missionaries to places like China and India, and left a mark that many missionaries to follow were able to look at his example and look at his sacrifice and also see that God rewards faithfulness and service. He preached that by the life he lived. And as his missionary service was coming to an end, as his life was coming to an end, people began to ask him, what prompted you? How could you give up the great career you had to do what God called you to do? And he began to name some things. He said, well, when I gave my life to Christ, I found a joy and a peace in living for Him I could not find living for myself. So I wanted to do whatever I could do to stay in that joy and to stay in that peace. And he began to tell about how glad he was that he surrendered what God told him to surrender. It may have seemed big in other people's eyes, but to him it's simply being obedient. But then he came down, and here's one I showed you his pictures today. He came down to this, and this is written in his biography. He said this when people asked him, why don't you live the life you live? Here's what he said. My only joys are that when God has given me a work to do, I have not refused it. I want to ask you to say that last phrase with me. I have not refused it. Let's say it together again. I have not refused it. C.T. said these words, anytime God gave me something to do, whether big or small, whether seen by people or seen by no one, I'm glad that I can stand before God and say these words, I have not refused it. And when God looks at my life, and when God looks at the life of our church, one day when we stand before God and He asks us about all the people He put in front of us and all the opportunities we've had through this life, I want to stand before God and say, Lord, You gave me this chance, You gave me this opportunity, and I did not refuse it. Amen? That's great. If that's not your prayer today, maybe you've never even thought about the fact that God has a work for you. Let me just tell you, God has a work for you. He has a plan for your life. And the big thing is for us not to refuse the plan that God has for us. We're looking at this series this month at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. And here's what verse number 58 says. It starts, It says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. And that part of the scripture is what Pastor Dave spoke about 2 weeks ago. Today I want us to preach to you the next section. It says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain. Let's pray. Father, we love you and I thank you for your word that never returns void, but always goes forward and finds a lodging place, but more than that, a changing place in our hearts. It changes us from the inside out. And I pray this morning your word, Lord, will change us from the inside out. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, you would anoint me to, or enable me to speak your words and your words alone. Enable our ears, our hearts, and our minds to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us this morning. And change us this morning. And we just commit ourselves right now, right up front, that we will respond not to what a man says, but we will definitely respond to what the Holy Spirit says to us this morning. We will not ignore it. We will not run from it. We will not excuse it. We will respond to what you say, Holy Spirit. So we say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Speak to us this morning. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody said amen. That scripture we just read says, therefore, dear my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm always, continually. Let nothing move you. You know, I was taught as a kid that anytime you read the word of God and you see that word, therefore, you should always look and ask this question, what is the word therefore, therefore? Right? So I know many times you say, Pastor, I pick up my Bible and sometimes I just read and I get lost and I don't know what I've read. Well, here's a little thing that can help you. When you're reading the Word of God every day, which I know you're doing because you're following along with the assembly reading plan. And if you're not doing that, hey, read the Word of God with us this year. And when you come across the word, therefore, stop, pause, and take a minute and ask, what is this therefore, therefore? This morning, I want to challenge you to always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. That's my title. That's my sermon in a sentence. That's the scripture from God's word, is to always give yourselves fully to the word of God, to the work of the Lord. But that statement starts with this word, therefore. Why is the Apostle Paul saying, therefore, give your lives to Christ. Live your lives fully for God. Why would he say such a thing? Well, I'll tell you why he would say such a thing, because if you'll hit reverse on that scripture, in verse number 50, he starts off, I'm going to read this to you, just bear with me. Many of you you've heard it many times, a lot of times we hear this at funerals. Verse number 50, he says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the imperishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you, a mystery will not all sleep, but will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet of God will sound, the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable and will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us, what's that word? He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, let nothing move you. And to always give yourselves to the work of the Lord. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about always giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Not because you're supposed to, not because you have to, not because you should, not because the pastor said so, but to do so because, did you know there is a context of what you do for God? I want to say that again. What you do for God has a context. And the context is not what you see around you. The context is not what the people you see that you're serving. The context is not what you've been through in the past. The context is not even the need that seems so huge or impossible in front of you. The context is this, that those who serve the Lord will end in victory. I will say this to you this morning. Anything you do for God ends in victory. Amen. I got to say that again. Some of you've been serving God, but you're not sure you're on the winning side. You've been serving God, but you're not sure if you're seeing any good come to pass. I want to say it again. Anything you do for God ends in victory. Amen? Every time you respond to the Word of God, anytime you obey the Word of God, friends, you are hopelessly doomed to succeed. You picking up on that? And Paul is saying that when you serve God, victory is not in question. The only thing is question is how is he going to bring us to victory? And that's his business and not my business. My job is simply to stay faithful, to stay true, to give myself fully to the work of the Lord until he brings the victory about he wants me to see. And I don't know about you, but I want to see the victory in my life that God has for me, don't you? I want to see the victory in my family, that when I put God first in the area of my finances, he takes care of me. I want to see the victory in my family that when I honor God and I teach my kids the Word of God and bring them to the house of God and train them in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they're not going to depart. And they do try to depart, there's going to be a seed of God's Word that just reels them back in. At some point, they will not be able to run from the fruit that's going to come from the seeds that was planted in their heart. I'm looking forward to that. And sometimes it may seem like I planted it and it's not coming. But if I'll just stay true, everything I do for God will end in victory. Now hang on, it may not look like victory. How many know that Jesus went to the cross because God told him this, there ain't no other way but except for this way, right? And when Jesus died, that didn't look like victory, did it? When they buried him, it didn't look like victory. The first and second days, it didn't look like victory, but it ended in victory. And friends, I'm not sure which part of the process you're in this morning. I just know this. If you will give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, it will end in victory. Amen? I'm convinced of that this morning. So I want to talk real quickly about what does it mean to give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. And sometimes I read the Word of God and I have a hard time picturing, Lord, what do you mean when you say this? And sometimes I really can't figure it out until I start asking this question, well, what would be the opposite of this statement? If you're asking me to give myself fully to the work of the Lord, let me ask you this question, church. What's the opposite of giving yourself fully? Some might think, well, the opposite, I guess, of giving myself fully would be to give myself not at all. And you would be wrong. Just like the opposite of love is not hate, the opposite of love is indifference. The opposite of giving your life fully to the work of God is this, giving my life partially. Have I caught your attention yet? Because we do preach too, and we live in a culture today that says to the loud, as long as they can say it, they will say it like this, serve God marginally. Serve God with reserve. Trust God partially. Trust God with part of your life when the Word of God is saying, give yourself to God fully. Right? That's why when we practice baptism, we don't just dip you down to your shoulders. Because we don't believe that part of our life has been buried with Christ. How many want part of your sins covered by God? Right? We want all of our sins covered by God. We want all of the atonement applied to our life. We want everything washed away. We want everything to be brand new. And in the same way, just as Jesus fully receives us, he wants us to fully receive and live for him. Well, Pastor, what does that look like? How can I fully live for God? Now, next week, I want to just tell you, I want you to come back next Sunday. Even if you don't like this message, come back anyway. Because maybe you'll next week, I'm going to talk more about, title of next week's message is this, the person God uses. And I'll cut to the chase if you'll promise to come anyway. He will use you. Despite the reasons you don't think he can. Despite your failures, despite your inabilities, despite what you've done right, and especially despite what you've done wrong. I saw on Facebook this past week, I'll get back to preaching in a minute. I saw on Facebook this past week, someone put this. They said, I won't say who it was. Someone put on Facebook that God knew your stupidity when he called you. Amen? I know you're not stupid, but I am, so it helped me. That God had all my weaknesses already accounted for when he called me. Every once in a while, somebody feels like it's their duty to help me and pointed out my weaknesses. And I just, as nicely as I can, I just want to tell them, welcome to the party. I've known about that for a long time. And God's known about it even longer. And he chose to use me anyway. And he's choosing to use you anyway. But part of that is this. Here's point one for this morning. Is that if we want to fully give ourselves to the work of the Lord, we have to decide that I am on a lifelong quest to bring glory and honor to God. Let me ask you this morning. Have you decided that you're on a lifelong quest to honor God with your life? Because that's what it means to follow Jesus. That our past is gone, and our today and our tomorrow belongs to him. We're following him. Jesus didn't say to his disciples, come and watch me. He said, come and follow me. Come and live for me. Come and commit yourself to me. Come and spend your life bringing honor and glory to me. That's why the Bible says to always give yourselves. Let me ask you, would you please shout out to me your best definition of the word always? It sounded like you said always. I know that we have a lot of Cabot graduates and a lot of college graduates, and we have more in our vocabulary than that. So tell me again, your best definition for the word always is what?
Always.
Always? We got people with master's and doctor's degrees, and all we can get is that always means always? Well, how about, can we just agree that we're going to accept that the word of God, when the word of God says always, it means always? So we can agree on that point this morning? So that's why I say that point number one, if we're going to fully honor God, that we've got to say, I am on a lifelong quest. As long as I'm going, my mission is to bring glory and honor to God. And so is yours. Now, we may not be living according to that mission, but that's our mission. That's why John the Baptist said, I've got to continually get less and less so that he can become more and more. See, always doesn't just mean in the good times. Always doesn't mean just in the bad times or the convenient times or the fun times. Always doesn't mean, well, I'll do it when I'm married or I'll have to do it when I'm single. Service to God isn't seasonal. Can someone say amen? Service to God, what we do in that service might be seasonal. It might change. Matter of fact, it will change from time to time. But serving to God, it's part of our lifelong quest to bring honor and glory to God. Always means every moment of my life, no matter what that moment looks like. I like what Mark Batterson said. He said, you can have faith or you can have control, but you can't have both. If you want God to do something off the chart, you have to take your hands off the controls. And serving God fully means, Lord, I'm going to serve you always. I'm going to serve you when I feel like I'm in control. I'm going to serve you when I feel like I'm out of control. I'm going to serve you when it feels like everything is going right. And I'm going to serve you when it feels like nothing's going right. And friends, if we're going to serve God fully, I'll promise you, you will have both of those days in your life. When it seems like you're on top of the world, serve God fully. And when you feel like the world's on top of you, serve God fully. I'm afraid that sometimes we relegate when we can serve God to times when we feel like it, times when things are going right, times when we got money in the bank, times when we got everyone at home as well, and we figure out that the only time I can serve God is when the moon is in this phase and it's blue. And we spend our whole life thinking there's going to be a better time to live fully for God. When Jesus said, hey, don't say 3 months or 4 months and then comes harvest. He said, what? Today is the day. Today is the day of harvest. Today is the day of salvation. And we've got to understand that there's the best time to serve God, the best time to start serving God was yesterday, but the next best time to start is today. I think about John the Revelator. who church tradition tells us he was, they tried to kill him. Tradition says that he was bound hands and feet and thrown into a pit of boiling oil. They were going to try to torture him and kill him, but miraculously, they couldn't kill him. He survived. And so since they couldn't kill him, they exiled him to an island called Patmos. And if you're if you want some help with that, just think of Alcatraz. It's a place where you send people, but people normally don't come back. And John is, to make even matters worse, he's young when all this happens. He's 80 years old. That's young, right? Several of you are saying, yeah, that's young, Pastor. He's 80 years old. He's been boiled. He's been ridiculed. He's been sent away to an island where the main commerce is mining for minerals. And he's left there to die, basically. In Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10, he says this: I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, I could preach right here for about an hour. I'm not sure if this is a message or meddling, but it's amazing how often today we want the temperature just right, the music just right, the seats just right, our comfort just right. And if you'll get everything just right, and if you'll sing my song, then maybe you can coax me into the Spirit on the Lord's day. And John was left for dead on an island prison, and he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Come on. What you're going through or what you've been through does not have to be a barrier to the Spirit of God showing up in your life. If you'll say, no matter where I am, this is a season that I can seek the Lord. I'm on a lifelong quest to bring glory and honor to God, even if that means I'm on an island that's a prison. Give yourselves always, as that scripture goes, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Even when you don't feel like it. The Apostle Paul said in Corinthians 16, verse number 8, he said, I will stay in Ephesus because there is a great effectual door that's open to me. And there are many who oppose us. He just discovered that opposition doesn't have to weed out the opportunity that God gives us. Some of you today, you've tried to serve God fully, and you started serving God, and the first thing you met was opposition. And I just want to give you some tough love today and say welcome to a fantastic group of believers today. Because friends, when you try to push back the gates of hell, they may fight you, but they will fail. Amen? The service to God always ends in victory. So we got to be on a lifelong quest to bring glory and honor to God. And I don't always get that right. But I want to ask you this morning, let's join together and say, Lord, in every way and every season, always, always use me to bring glory and honor to you. I'm on a lifelong quest. Would you say that phrase with me? A lifelong quest. Say it again. A lifelong quest. Tomorrow morning when Monday hits you smack between the eyes, and you walk in and that boss is just as much of a jerk as he was on Friday, remember, I'm still on a lifelong quest. I hope that's not Addison that's thinking that way right now. I'm still on a quest to bring glory and honor to God. Here's the second thing. How do I give my life fully? How can I always give myself fully? Here's the second thing. Make this commitment that I will give my life in significant service to God. He says, always give yourselves fully. Here's the thing about service to God. You can't sign someone else up to take your place. You have to give yourself. It says, give yourself fully. give yourself to make a significant difference, to do something significant for God. And some of you may be thinking, oh, Pastor, I could never do anything for God significant. And I want to push back this morning and tell you this. You can never do anything for God that's not significant. There are hundreds of people that serve around this year. Actually, there's not hundreds. Let me back up. Last time I saw, there was 160-something. That are serving around our church. We want to get that number up to 200. But everything those 167 people are doing is significant. If you're leading a life group this semester, it is highly significant in the kingdom of God. If you're co-leading, it is highly significant. If you're serving in our student ministry, it is highly significant. If you're helping with our kids this week, I can tell you as a dad of two of the kids that's down on that end of the building today, it is highly significant. So if you drove a van this morning, Brother George, wherever you are, that is highly significant. If you're serving in that tech booth this morning, it is highly significant. If you're helping on the host team, or you're showing up at the Easter egg hunt, or the Halloween outreach, or the water outreach, anytime you are doing anything for God, I just want to tell you that is significant in His kingdom. Everything you do for God is significant. You may read that scripture, always give yourself to the work of the Lord. And maybe you're caught up this morning thinking, I don't even know what that phrase, the work of the Lord. What does that even mean? I'll tell you what it means. It refers to anything that proclaims the gospel of Jesus or anything that's done in obedience to His word or to His spirit. A word of kindness that His spirit speaks to you to say, that you say, and the moment He tells you to say it, that's a work of the Lord. And it's significant to God, and it's significant to those that are receiving it. And Paul says, give yourselves to this. He doesn't say don't procrastinate about it. Don't make someone ask you. Don't make someone volunteer you. Don't put it off. Don't avoid it. He says, give yourself to the work of the Lord. Sometimes I fear when we think about giving ourselves to the work of the Lord, sometimes I fear we think in order for us to give ourselves to the work of the Lord, we got to have some kind of Damascus Road experience like the Apostle Paul had. Remember his experience? He was doing everything except for serving God, persecuting the church of God, and he was on his way to do some damage to the kingdom of God, not for the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of God, to persecute believers, and a light shone from heaven and it blinded him, and he knocked him off his horse, and he couldn't see for 3 days. And some of you think, well, Lord, if you'll speak to me like that, then I'll follow you. I'll just tell you, most people in the Word of God, if you'll see, when they had those dramatic experiences, it's because the persecution they were about to go through required that type of experience. So be careful before you say, Lord, I want to experience like that. Andy Stanley, who leads one of the largest churches in our nation today, son of Dr. Charles Stanley, whose ministry I thoroughly enjoy, says in his book, Deep and Wide, he said he went to his dad. I don't know if he was in his teenage years or exactly what age he was, but he went to his dad and he said, you know, Dad, I really want to do something for God. But I haven't had this great moment of experience or calling like I hear other preachers or people talk about. He says, I just have a question for you, Dad. And he said, my question is this. Does God take volunteers? I want to tell you this morning, God takes volunteers. And He takes volunteers and He uses them in ways that are beyond anything they could ever imagine. Oftentimes, I've discovered this, it's simply the opportunity that is the call of God. It's the mouth that needs to be fed. That's the call of God. It's the spot on the org chart at the church that needs to be filled that is the call of God. I can tell you personally that I went to camp when I was 14 years old, and I can take you to the spot at that campground our kids just came back from, and I can show you the floor tile, or it's actually a new floor now, but where the floor tile used to be. I can tell you where God called me to ministry, and I went home excited about the call of God. But I can also tell you this, that call in that moment opened zero doors for me. Now hang on to me. Don't walk out and get mad at me. But listen, some of you feel, I've met too many people that say, I know God's called me to do something. Here's my advice to you. Then do something. It's all significant. I want to say this very carefully. I don't think I'm a pastor today just because God called me at age 14. Near as much as I might be a pastor today because the pastor asked me to mow the yard and I said yes. And I thought that was significant. Many of our opportunities to respond to the work of the Lord comes disguised as hard work and bad opportunities that other people would rather avoid. But when you see a need, you fill it. It says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. It doesn't say pick and choose which parts of the work of the Lord you want to serve. And he says, give yourselves fully to it. Fully to it. And I read that scripture and I'm just preaching to myself this morning. You guys are stuck with the ride along. I apologize for that. But read this scripture. Give yourselves fully. And one of the things the Lord's been speaking to me about, matter of fact, when we were on vacation, I really tried not to spend a whole lot of time speaking about church or thinking about church stuff and messages and all that stuff. But one of the things, while we were away, one of the things the Lord just kind of really kicked me in the teeth about was he told me, he said, Greg, stop apologizing to people when serving me or living for me is hard, difficult, or cost them something. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit kind of prodded me one day. He just said, Greg, has serving me ever cost you anything? And I said, well, yeah, you know, there's this time. Have you ever been hurt by people, by trying to serve me? And I said, well, yeah, there's this time. And then the Lord asked me this question. Have I ever apologized to you for it? I said, well, no, Lord, you really haven't ever told me you felt sorry for me because someone hurt my feelings or someone stepped on my ego or told me I needed longer hair to be a pastor or whatever. Not once has God apologized to me about it. The Holy Spirit told me, then stop apologizing to people when serving me cost them something. Because the Apostle Paul said, Lord, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. But he didn't stop there, did he? Many of us stop there. He said, but I also want to know what the fellowship of your suffering. Many times we want the power, but we don't want the fellowship. 1 Thessalonians, listen to this, chapter 1, verse 6 says, so you receive the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. Listen to this scripture. And in this way you imitated both us and the Lord. Have you ever prayed, Lord, I want to be like you? Have you ever prayed, Lord, I want to be like you? There's a song we used to sing in church that says, Lord, make me like you, Lord, make me like you. You were a servant, make me one too. Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. We used to sing that all the time when I was a kid. And this scripture reminds us that sometimes it's in the hurts of life. It's when ministry costs us. It's when the work of God we get injured in the process of the work of the Lord. It's in those moments we look most like Jesus. Does anyone think it's quiet in here, or is it just me? I'm just telling you, God is looking for volunteers, but we have to understand what we're volunteering for. We have to understand that we're not just volunteering to serve God when things are good, when things are convenient, but we're serving God always. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Let's look at this one quick video, and I'll finish up the message.
You know what top secret is?
Yes, sir. It's the kind of mission where you get medals. But they send them to your relatives.
Top secret means you train for something never done before in aviation history. And you go without knowing where you're going. You do it on that basis or not at all?
I'll go, sir. I'll go too, sir.
The mission I'm asking you to volunteer for is exceptionally dangerous. Take a look at the man beside you. It's a good bet that in the next 6 weeks, you or he will be dead. Everyone brave enough to accept this, step forward.
You know, Jack, we may lose this battle, but we're going to win this war. You know how I know? Them. Because they're rare. And at times like these, you see them stepping forward. There's nothing stronger than the heart of a volunteer, Jack.
God's looking for volunteers. That's why Paul said, give yourselves. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Here's a question for evaluation this morning. Am I giving myself fully to the work of the Lord? Not partially, fully to the work of the Lord. That's a question only you can answer, but I would ask you to ask that question. Allow the Holy Spirit to ask you that question and you answer this morning. Here's the third thing. Maybe if you want to come, it'll trick people into thinking I'm about done. Third thing this morning, how do I give myself fully to the work of the Lord? Is determine that I will elevate the message of Jesus with the attitude I display. I'm not sure which version of the Bible you're having in your hand today, but that word fully, I'll give myself fully. That word fully in the original language has two different meanings. It has the meaning that we all just sort of said with our mouths a few minutes ago. Always means always, fully. All the time, but it also speaks about a heart condition, a heart attitude. One of the translations says, always give yourselves enthusiastically to the work of the Lord. So it's not just enough to do the right thing. You got to do the right thing with the right attitude. How many of you can go to a restaurant and two different restaurants, and maybe the food at both of them are equally good, but the attitude in which they serve you the food makes a difference, right? We were on vacation last week, and I won't tell you the two places we went to, but we went to one place one night, and we were in the drive-thru, and I placed my order, and before I could even tell them Megan's order or Stella's order or Nora's order, the person just came across the microphone, and I can't even say it as horrible as they said it, but I'll try. They said something along the lines of, what else? So I gave them my next order and said, well, what else? And it really made me feel like they're not happy that I came by their establishment. Then the very next day we went out for breakfast, and the person came, they brought us our food, and she looked at me and she said those same words. She said, what else can I do for you? The same exact words, two completely different messages. So when the Word of God says we must always give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, it's not just about what we do for the kingdom of God, it's also how we do for the kingdom of God. The Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. I believe the Bible, you can also put this, He loves a cheerful server. He loves a cheerful person that does the work of the Lord, not because they have to, but because they get to. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I want to ask you this question this morning. There's I think the number is 167 people that are serving around our church. And to every one of you, 167 people, I want to say this morning, whether you're in the room or you're listening to this online later, because right now you're serving in kids' area or some other area. I want to ask all of us, I want to ask us as a church this morning this question. Are you serving God enthusiastically? Or have you lost your enthusiasm for the work of the Lord? Because giving your life fully means I'm doing it with enthusiasm. And here's what I've discovered. Anyone that has served God long term at all, you have discovered that there are times in life when the enemy tries to, since he can't get you to abandon God, he tries to get you to abandon your work for God. He tries to wear you down or wear you out so that eventually you will count yourself out and then you will lose out on the victory that God has for you. I was sitting around the room with our staff this week, and I even asked our staff members this question. I said, what do you do when you lose your enthusiasm for serving God? And let me tell you something about every one of our staff members who, in my opinion, are top level, can't beat them kind of people. Our staff, man, if I get sick, I want them praying for me. They are spiritual giants. I so love every one of them. But when I asked that question, I said, guys, what do you do when you lose your spiritual enthusiasm? Not one of them said, I don't know. I've never had that before. All of them started peppering me with answers. Because serving God enthusiastically, fully, is not a one-time choice. It's a continual practice. So I asked them, guys, what do I do when you lose your enthusiasm for the Lord? Here's the answer. Some of these will have scripture tied to them. Some of them won't. We didn't even put them in your notes today because there's no way you can write all these down, but I'll give you my notes later if you want to. But maybe you're sitting here this morning, you've lost your enthusiasm for God. Let me give you these answers real quick. If you're in that place today, number one, remember who you're serving. Remember who's watching. Remember who's rewarding. Remember it's God that we're serving. Sometimes we lose our excitement because we fixate on the people we're ministering to instead of fixating on the one we're ministering for. It's like Jesus said, fix your eyes on me. The Lord says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. Remember, we're serving God. Number two, remember that your passion for God fuels your passion for service. If you're not enthusiastic about what you're doing for God, I would ask you to really examine your passion for God, because it's our passion for Him that fuels our passion to do things for Him. Third, I would challenge you to recount what God has called for you. Gratitude fosters service. When I think of everything that God has done for me, how can I not do something for Him? Next, remember what's at stake. Jesus left heaven and came to earth. He said He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came because the stakes were too high for Him not to come. And friends, I want to tell you, the stakes have not lessened. The stakes are just as high, if not higher. What you do for God is significant because it makes an eternal impact on people's salvation for eternity. And when you lose your enthusiasm, I want to remind you, remember what's at stake. I challenge you to stop basing your current activity on someone else's definition of success. That's our next one. If God says it's significant, then it's significant. Don't lose sight of how important something is because it doesn't fit your expectations. God always judges us based on our faithfulness, not on the immediate results we think we're seeing or not seeing. How do you not lose your enthusiasm? Remember that action gives way to feelings, not the other way around. You don't feel your way into service. You serve your way into feelings. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. And faith challenges us to take steps of obedience. And when you take those steps of obedience, the victory is in God's hands. You leave your results to Him. Take ownership of the things that God's put in your hands. If God's trusting you with it, realize it's yours. God's trusting you with it. Don't let someone else talk you out of it. If something's deteriorating, don't say, I wish somebody would fix it. Fix it. God's put you there for a reason. Push through with persistence towards God's promises. If you lost your enthusiasm, here's a big thing. I've seen people serve God in the church, serve God in different areas of life for some people for 5 years and for decades or 15 years with great persistence, but 15 years into it, they burn out, they quit, they lose their enthusiasm, and now all of a sudden there's an empty hole. Here's one way to prevent that. Realize that God didn't call you to just fill a gap. He's called you to find others to stand in that gap with you, to shoulder the load with you. You're not just filling a slot. You're shaping a life that can carry on the ministry you're doing today, even if you're not there to do it someday. Focus on raising new leaders with you. I'm about to quit. But here's one of the last things I'll tell you is refuse to fake it till you make it. You ever heard that slogan before? Fake it till you make it. Here's the thing about faking it till you make it. You're just faking it, right? But I can tell you something you can do is you can faith it till you make it. Well, Pastor, what's the difference? Faking it means I'm going to smile and pretend like I'm happy. I'm going to work and pretend like I enjoy it. I'm going to serve and pretend I love these people. But faith says, I want to love these people, even though I don't feel it. God told me if I'll love them, He'll do something in me and do something in them. I'm going to smile even though I don't really feel like it. I'm going to smile anyway, believing that God's going to give me something to smile about someday. I'm going to press in when I don't feel like pressing in. Not because I'm being phony by lifting my hands, but I'm lifting my hands in faith, knowing that right now, I may not feel like I got a lot to lift my hands about, but as I focus on Jesus, He's going to reveal to me and remind me what He's already done and what He's going to do. I'm not faking it. I'm faithing it. I'm believing God. I'm taking Him at His word. You can do the same thing. And last, I'll tell you this, evaluate. Often it's not what we're doing for God that's wearing us down. It's life that's wearing us down, trying to talk us out of what we're doing for God. Too many times we see the work of the Lord as a drain. Well, I want to tell you, the work of the Lord is your source of life. It's your source of life. Our mission is not to fill other people's cups. Our mission is to spill our own cups. And then God pours in everything we need for our life. That's true for me. That's true for you. That's why Paul said, therefore, knowing the stage has been set for victory, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain. This moment of reflection with your heads bowed, eyes closed, are you giving yourself to the work of the Lord? This year, we made a goal as a church to see 200 people involved in the work of the Lord. And we didn't do that because we were trying to get more out of people. We set that goal because we want the people that call the assembly their home to get more out of their relationship with God. And there is some significance, there is some power, there is some joy, there is some peace, there is some fulfillment, there is some promises that you are not going to discover until you put your hand to the plow And you say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. We want you to discover that joy. So here's what we're doing. I want to ask you now to ask the Lord to speak to your heart and join me in this prayer. I'm going to say a prayer. I just want to ask you to follow me in it in your own words. Jesus, thank you for giving all of you for me. Thank you for not just giving yourself partially so that I can have part of my sins forgiven, that I can have part of my life redeemed. Thank you for giving yourself fully for me and for my life. And Lord, I'm choosing today to always give myself fully to you. Lord, I confess today that I am on a lifelong quest to bring glory and honor to God. So Lord, speak to me, show me, let me recognize every opportunity you give me to live a life of lifelong service to you. And when you show me those opportunities, I'll say yes, Lord, to you. In Jesus' name, amen.